What you doing?
I dropped something and I'm looking for it.
Egg chili cheese fries. Lots of them. And a chocolate shake.
Okay. Did your mom ever tell you not to talk to strangers? Okay, she didn't say anything about puking on them, though. Thank you.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games. I can't play these video games.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is. February 17th. This is Games of More Entertainment Radio number 34. I am C4.
Hunter.
Wolf.
Kobar.
Kinda. They're kind of playing Final Fantasy, Wolf and Kobar here. I don't know how much they're going to actually chime in with anything, but hopefully they're close enough to the mics to pick it up. We know Wolf is. We need to switch your guys' seats, if anything.
He could be all the way across the room, and he'd hear his ass.
I know, I've had him across the room before, and he's still pretty loud. Let's see. We've actually got time to check on some emails and stuff today, and I've got some really weird, kind of even off-gaming stuff I wanted to talk about. iTunes was the big thing that I wanted to mention today, just from monkeying around with it. But let me get into some other thing before I forget, because I know I will. I wanted to mention Armchair Arcade. It's armchairarcade.com, and this is a website with some articles and like editorials on various things that so far are there's only like one issue out. It's like, think of it as like a magazine. You know, there's a few articles on there about various topics. You know, they were talking about Metroid and Turrican and one. And
so they basically just they focus on games, or
they talk about more things in the industry and things that have changed with the industry, because the guys that do it, the people that do it, there's a few, and I couldn't tell you their names and who they are. They're big into like retro gaming stuff. So most of it's, you know, older stuff like that, yeah. Which is awesome to read, though, because I wasn't around for a lot of it. So I like to read about a lot of it, you know, I'm into that kind of thing, you know, and that's just what it is. A lot of people aren't, but if you're at all remotely into stuff like this, and they were talking, one of them was really cool, about game packaging and how it's changed over the years, and, you know, and like what it kind of means for the game and stuff. I think it was really an interesting thing to read.
Yeah, I noticed, like, the game covers on most games have gotten pretty ghetto. Yeah, it's like, remember Zelda, when you first bought that, it came in that nice gold package, you know, you pulled the cartridge out, it's all gold and shiny, you know.
There was something special
about
Zelda.
Yeah, that was special.
There was something really special about Zelda, but like way back in the day when you had like computer software, you didn't have packages, you had like a bag. Like a Ziploc bag, you know, and that's like what you had, you know. No, this is your game.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't around for all that. I didn't, you know, just wasn't, you know, the thing at the time for me, you know. I mean, the earliest I can recall is Atari 2600 stuff. You know, box art was a big thing. You know, I mean, I remember seeing like the Sega Master System boxes. Blew my mind because I liked them because they were all uniform.
Yeah.
With the white background with the blue grid, you know, and then the same font for the game title, unless it was something really special, when they used a special font or something, or they actually had a picture for the title of the game instead of just, you know, text.
You know how many bad games I've bought and just on the box? You know, you look at the box, you're like, oh, it's gotta be fat.
Clans.
I'll buy it.
Clans, like, oh, this looks like Diablo. This can't be all that bad.
It's a coaster.
Oh, man, that game was horrible. But, I mean, today, though, it seems like a lot of our stuff is just, like, I don't know. There's not a whole lot special about any of the games now. Like boxes. You look at the box and you just kind of glance at it and you're like, well, you know, they're trying for all kinds of flash and they want to show explosions and whatnot. And it almost seems like they're all kind of the same. I just glance over them. And that was just one of the topics that they picked for their first issue. It's called Armchair Arcade. On the topic of game packaging, you know what? Let me grab... Look at this. I got this today. This was such a weird-looking PlayStation 2 game because it's yellow.
Wow.
The label. R-Type Final. We picked that up today. We went down to everybody's favorite. I can't believe that. I went to this place and bought a game.
After you told me you weren't going to do it.
I know.
As long as you don't buy CDs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not buying CDs, which is another interesting thing we're going to get to, too, is about iTunes and music. But yeah, R-Type Vinyl here, it stood out. I mean, I didn't see it. You know, I was looking for it. You know, Kobar, you spotted it before I did when we were in the store. But when I looked at it, I was like, wow, you know, a yellow box. It was really, it was just unusual. I don't know what I'm talking about anyway. Leave it to the professionals. Go read their articles. ArmchairArcade.com. You know, another cool thing is there's no advertising on their site.
Oh, you don't get all that banner
You don't
crap.
Get, exactly. There's no banner ads. They don't have any pop-ups. They don't have any kind of garbage like that. And that was something interesting because, I'm all for supporting stuff like this. And this is a big topic that we've never really talked about very much. And it's like advertising and stuff like this and how it's, there's like a big competition with a lot of stuff. Like you look at a site like, let's say, I don't want to pick on anybody. So let's just say that there's, you know, like a gaming site that became really popular. You know, maybe it's even like a comic site dedicated to games. Maybe whatever it is, something has to do with games. And then you start seeing them, they get popular and they get ads on their website, you know, maybe from Sega or Nintendo or whatever, some, you know, game company themselves that want them to advertise their game. And they lose sight of, well
they become all about the money.
Exactly.
Then,
yeah. You know, they don't, they're not part of the community as far as I see it anymore. And I noticed that you go to a website, you know, that's not ultra popular, that doesn't have any ads and whatnot. They don't have, you know, any of this corporate backing or whatever. They don't make any money from ads. And let's say you go to, like, their forum or whatever, and you mention something about another website, whether it's your own or a different one, and it's like you get attacked. People jump all over people for mentioning other websites, and I do not understand the logic behind this. Now, I mean, I understand that maybe the owner of the site does not want to advertise for other people, but it doesn't make sense to me because maybe I'm a dreamer or something, but I believe that, you know, it's for the good of the community. If you're referencing
if you're
a site,
about something else, you know, you want to mention it if it's going to help somebody. You know,
if somebody can go there and learn from it or at least be entertained, and they might be interested. I mean, if it's on the topic at hand, why is everybody so opposed to, like, helping spread the word of other sites? I mean, are we just that greedy this day and age that nobody will let anybody else move on and experience other things? They want to keep you locked down on their website, and, you know, I'll be damned if you're going anywhere else to read any information. It's bullshit to me.
Right here.
It is. It really is. I got jumped all over for mentioning our website. Two different locations, I got just ripped in half. And I don't understand it. Now, I can see where it becomes a problem when you've got every, you know, let's say you've got 10,000 people or whatever registered on your forums, and all of them want to mention their own personal sites. And most of them are crap. You know what I mean? Just what it comes down to is most sites you go to are crap. Now, I don't mean, like, as far as the look of the site. I mean the content on the site. You know, we're crap, I know that, but at least we do it consistently.
That's right.
Okay, I mean, we're there. I mean, at least, you know, there's something there
for
you.
We're crap for today's future, man.
That's right. So I don't see why it's such a big deal if you're, and let alone, there's no advertising there. And that really blows my mind. When you go to some website, you know, wherever it is, or a forum or whatever, and you mention another site, particularly one that has no advertising, and that is, honest to God, there for the benefit of the community, and you get ripped. And I don't understand it. It really, really bothers me. And this is something I want to talk about for a long time now, and I've just kind of like been putting it off. I've actually been waiting to mention it for this because on our forums, which like no gets no traffic. I mean, there's hardly anybody ever there. Every now and again, somebody posts something, and it even takes me a couple days to get around to reply to it. It's Final Fantasy that's keeping me from spending any time on the internet lately. But
Final Crack.
You know, it is. It's the last. This is it. Final. That's it. That's all you need. But I noticed there that I can't even pronounce his last name. Bill. He mentioned he's one of the editors of he created Armchair Arcade with some other people, and he said something. He mentioned something about is it okay to mention? And I thought, that's it was nice that he asked, but to me it was like absurd that somebody would have to ask to advertise something that is good for the community. Like, to me, it's totally cool if somebody wants to say, hey, you know what, you guys might like this. Check this out.
Yeah, it gives you another alternative.
Exactly.
And not everyone's going to like your site.
Yeah, and particularly if it's free. I mean, if you go there and there's not ads and stuff, like if somebody went there and tried to advertise whatever, you know, some other site where you get bought, like IGN, here, go to IGN, it'd be like, oh my God, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, there's information there, that's cool. I mean, you know, at least there is people that might not know about it, that's fine. But it's like when you get there and you're bombarded with ads from IGN. I mean, IGN is horrible for this
game. Yeah, they are.
You know, so it's like, I tend to not prefer to support stuff like that, only because they're not in it for the games or for the good of the community. They just, I mean, they're soulless. You know, they just don't care.
Money.
You know, but
maybe if you mention, you know, you go on these other people's sites and say, hey, I'll give you a nickel, man. Just let me mention it.
That's what, but see, you shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have to do that. You should just be able to, like spread the information. Share the wealth, you know? I mean, let other people know about other places for free. You don't have to be a dick about it.
Yeah, that's how everything gets better, you know?
Exactly.
People get a hold of
growth,
it. And they
you
go,
know, expand your horizons. Just, you gotta go other places and look around and find out more stuff. You know? I don't understand why it's such this crazy attack mode when people, I don't know, I've been waiting to be pissed about that for a while, and I got pretty mad when I was experiencing the things that I experienced, you know, it's just like, man, what is wrong with you people? You know, I mean, are you just that? Oh, it's just, maybe it's hard to hear me with your head that far up your asses or something, but listen to what I'm saying.
Grab your ears and pull that head out that ass.
I mean, come on. Anyway, enough of me complaining. I am way too negative, aren't I? I like complaining, though. You know what? Fuck it all.
Back in my day.
Did you ever see that? Did you ever watch that Robin Williams, the last one he did, the live on Broadway thing?
No, I never got to see it.
Oh, dude. He's like, he's making fun of this drug, this thing he made. He's like, we just need a drug called Fuck It All, where you just take it, you don't care about anything. Fuck it all. I want that. I want Fuck It All.
No shit.
Ultra Ludes. Fuck It All.
A lot better. Fuck It All.
Totally. That would be the shit. Anyway, another really cool thing that happened around here is we got a new mirror, and I didn't even know about it. Textfiles.com mirrored all the shows for us, AUG and MP3 versions for us. They're ultra-fast servers, and they mirrored, like, everything. I mean, they've got, all kinds of stuff up there. It's usually actually full of, like, information and stuff, so I don't know what we're doing there, but, like, everything
That's
else they
cool,
have
man.
There, like, yeah, I've been there before in the past an awful lot. I feel kind of bad because I totally raped them one day. I mean, I was just like, I gotta have it all, and I remember I downloaded so much crap that day. You know, and it's just, it's nice and handy for me to go through and read it, and it's nice that when people want something, I have it for them and don't have to send them to their site to rape their bandwidth, you know?
Yeah.
So I do spread it around. I mean, at least, you know, I rape it and spread it, you know? I didn't just rape it and archive it and never look at it or never spread it either. But that was really cool to find out that they had all of our stuff up there, mirrored up there. Especially now that we've been having to download or delete the older episodes off the site. I've only got 500 megs of storage on there, and with 33 episodes of two formats, you know, we ran out of space a while ago, and I was knocking off the MP3 versions earlier because I just don't like the format, and, you know, figured might as well keep the better quality format up there the longest. But now I've been having to delete the AUG format also. So you're going to have to go there if you need archives of the show, the older ones.
Yeah, I wanted to also mention, you know, on graphics drivers, you know, I was doing some poking around. I found this really cool site. It's called OmegaDrivers.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they got drivers for the new Radeon cards, got drivers for the NVIDIA cards. You know, what this guy does is he takes the drivers and he goes, okay, I find everything bad in it, and I tweak it to make it run these games the way it should run them. Yeah, so it's totally gaming performance, you know, on these drivers. I'm really impressed with them.
Yeah, you said you had all kinds of problems before with the Catalyst.
Yeah, with the Catalyst drivers, it just wouldn't run right. I would lag, I would skip forward, you know, it was just crap, you know, and I got pissed, and I was like, well, okay, maybe I'll roll back the drivers, you know. What I ended up doing was taking the drivers that Windows gives you, and I was running those for a while, and they ran all right, but I couldn't do anything with them.
Yeah, they have very little options in the basic Windows drivers.
Then I heard about these Omega guys doing these drivers, and I was like, well, I'll check it out, you know, maybe it's cool. Put them on, great, they run great.
Nice. I remember on my laptop, I had a weird problem with trying to find drivers for an ATI card also, and I could not get, like, an updated set of drivers for Windows XP at the time. This was, like, way back, though. Right, this was a while ago, back when XP was still pretty new, and they just flat out were like, no, we're not going to give you drivers for XP. I was like, damn, you know, I need all my settings and options in the TV out, particularly at the time, and I ended up using hacked drivers, too, and they worked better than the regular drivers did the whole time.
Yeah.
So they're hiring the wrong people to write these drivers, obviously, is what they're screwing up on. Let's see here. I've got... You know what? I've actually got a bunch of email that I've been pushing back because you know what happened was I'm like the worst at email. Like, I download it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll read this tomorrow, and then, like, a month goes by. And I never get around to it. So I've actually got some of them here I printed out. I mean, and I still am missing half of the stuff. I've got email from Duel about the PSP. I've got, which God only knows what I did with it. I remember seeing it like 2 months ago, I swear to God. And then I've got email from John Kay about a movie, and I don't know where it happened to all the notes and all the shit I wrote down about it. And it's something about, it's called Once Upon Atari, and they're making like a TV movie or something on it or something. They're looking for, to save my life, I cannot remember all the information, but I'll find the link to it. I know I have that laying around somewhere still. I'll put it up there. So if you're interested, you can go read. Something about the guy who made Yar's Revenge, and they're doing like a whole TV story on it or something like that. Or maybe a movie, I don't remember.
That's a fact.
Yeah, that's going to be... I like seeing stuff like that, you know, and that's interesting to me. So that'll be kind of neat. Another really cool thing, this comes... Svetsnaz told us about this. Beats of Rage. Everybody's familiar with...
Streets of Rage.
Exactly, Streets of Rage, right? Remember that beat-em-up fighting game? I think it was on the Sega Genesis?
Sega, yeah.
Right? It reminded me of Double Dragon. Yeah, you just walk around and totally. Beat the crap out of stuff, you know, and you just kill things and other enemies keep coming at you.
Double Dragon was the shit.
Dude, Double Dragon was the bomb. I love that game. But you know what? I never could get too into Streets of Rage, and it's weird because it's highly regarded. I keep hearing so much good stuff about Streets of Rage.
I actually did like Streets of Rage because it was one of my very first Genesis games that I did own.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the shit out of that game. I mean, I go through, I beat it one sitting, you know, guy. It's like, it was just awesome. And the music to it gave you that beat. Yeah, it was just cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my style of game is what it is. And I know a lot of people love it, though. So, I don't know what... to say too much about it, but I did try this Beats of Rage, and what this is like the homebrew game here. They ripped out graphics from like some of SNK's fighting games, and they made this downloadable image for your PC and your, I guess there's a PS2 version, I heard there's an Xbox version, and the Dreamcast version. So I went ahead and downloaded the Dreamcast version. Screw the PC, man. I'm talking about sitting down with my console here and playing some games, right? I don't want to have to sit in front of my computer and try to play a game like this. It just didn't seem right to me for some reason.
Yeah.
So I downloaded the Dreamcast version, burned it onto a disc with no problems at all, and I sat down and I played for maybe an hour and a half. It's just not my kind of game is the problem. It's, you know, you just keep beating on the button and you beat up guys, and, you know, every third press, as long as you've connected every hit, you do, like, some combo, which, you know, is predetermined, of course, and the guy knocks over, and then you've got to fight off two or three other guys, and then, of course, the guy that you knocked over gets up, and you turn back around, and you punch him a few times
start
again.
Start the whole sequence over.
Yeah, my problem with it is this. It's easier to play this game instead of, because they want you to use all their combos. They want you to walk up there and mash on the button so your guy lays down a 4 or 5 hit combo and throws a kick in there and knocks the guy over but doesn't kill him. Now that to me sucks because then you have to deal with that enemy later. So the way I play these games, which is a lot less fun, is I walk up to him and I'll hit punch, I'll pause for a second. And then you can see the animation of where the computer guy is about to throw his punch again, and you hit punch again. So you punch him and he can't punch you. Then you wait, and he goes to pull back, and you hit him again, right? So what it,
cheap.
You know, yeah, what it does, though, is it keeps the enemy from falling over, so you know what I'm saying? So you don't have to hit him again.
Yeah, like, you just kill him.
You don't have to fight him. Exactly. You just kill him, and the one setting right there just takes you, like, an extra second or two. But you don't have to deal with the whole knocking him over thing. And it's incredibly boring to try to fight everybody like that in a game. It's just...
Who was it? Somebody I used to play on Street Fighter had one cheap move, and it would do every time, and it's like... You couldn't defend against it. And you just keep doing it until you're dead. It's like, man, that's no fun.
Yeah, that sucks. Until you find the actual counter for it, though.
Yeah.
Then he's got to change up. You know, then he's got to change his system. But it's totally free. It's called Beats of Rage. I'll put a link up to it in the show notes when I find the website again. It worked just fine for me. Burned into my Dreamcast, fired it right up. You don't need any mod chips or any crazy garbage like that. It's got quite a few levels. I think they said there was like 6 levels or something like that, and I'm pretty sure that means each one consists of like 3 sets. Because it seemed like you fight one place, then you zone somewhere else.
Stage 1,
yeah.
2,
it seemed like there was like
1, 3
zones
yeah.
per stage or something. Because I was playing for like an hour and a half. And got like to like a third, fourth level or something. But like even fighting the bosses, I was able to figure out easily a cheap way to kick his ass. You know, like there was one guy that I could just stand there and just wail on off the screen. And he couldn't throw. But then, you've got the boss that stands on the far side of the screen from you, while like 20 dudes come at you, and they're standing in between you and the boss, and the boss throws a knife at you, and the knife cuts through his guys. Doesn't hurt him, but will stick you, and it knocks you over in one hit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like, so,
yeah.
There you are, on the far left. There's five dudes standing in front of you kicking your ass, and on the far right of the screen is this enemy, is like the boss or regular enemy throwing a knife at you, which of course goes through the other enemies and doesn't hurt them, but then it hits you once while you're already fighting other guys and it knocks you down. Oh, I got
pissed. That's cheap.
Yeah, I was pissed off. I mean, they didn't really do anything to the gameplay mechanics here to make it anything special. Also, it suffers from the problem. Dude, Wolf's falling asleep. What an idiot. I swear to God. He's been up for like 5 hours. He just can't handle life anymore. You're pathetic.
What a little bitch.
I know. Jesus. God. In any case, they didn't do anything I thought to change the gameplay mechanics. There's nothing special. You have like a special move that you can do every so often that reduces a little bit of your hit points, which sucks
to
use.
But they don't have like Street Fighter. Look at that. There's all kinds of strategy.
Now that's what I'm talking about. Right? That's what I was going to get to, and I'm surprised that you stole my thunder, man.
Sorry,
I hate that.
Man. Sorry.
I was going to say, a game like this would be incredible if they had, like, a combo system, like, from Killer Instinct, or a bunch of stuff, like Street Fighter. I could get into a game like that. Even playing, what is that thing? Wolfnut plays it once in a while, the survival mode on one of the Street Fighters that he has. He's got, like, a survival mode for it, and it's just constant enemy. And even, as boring as it is, you're even in the same room, you're not even going anywhere. And you just constantly are whooping things' asses. But because you have so many different moves you can use, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've seen
really
you guys
cool.
go at it, and it's pretty awesome to watch. Yeah.
Where is your brain? What the hell? God damn! Can you just pull it together for 10 minutes? let's see. Another really cool thing. I actually saw this on the same day Spetsnaz did, but he told me about it too, so we're going to give him credit for it. Dolphin. The emulator, I think I mentioned it before. Somebody's working on a Dolphin emulator. The GameCube emulator. They're calling it
Holy
Dolphin.
Shit.
And I'm pretty sure that I mentioned it before because I saw a video of it running.
Yeah,
Wind
I think you sent me. Yeah, I got a little bit on that.
Well, they released a teaser. Like, you can actually download it and run it. And I haven't played with it for more than maybe 10 minutes because it didn't load the file I had. Now, according to the forums, it does run a few games. That's pretty impressive. According to their forums, it does run... I'll pull up the website. Oh, it's dolphin-emu.com. www.dolphin-emu.com. And according to their forums, it does run a few games. Now, I have...
Yeah, but they're going to get shut down. You know how Nintendo is about this.
Nintendo is a real stickler.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're bad.
They're not going to put up with this.
No.
They don't put up with Super Nintendo.
Yeah, they're going to... But now, here's the thing, though. There's nothing they can legally do. Nothing they can legally do as long as these guys keep their nose clean.
As long as they're only doing
the emulator
itself.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's nothing
legal.
They can do. Emulation is legal. The problem comes when you get, you know, the trading of the images, the CD images that they've got, or DVD images, whatever the hell they are. They actually even have a whole format for it called GCM, GameCube Media. If you look around for pirated games, not that I look around for pirated GameCube games, but had you look around the internet, you would notice that you can get ISOs and you can get GCMs of images. They're basically just images. They're ISOs of these GameCube games. And if I remember correctly, which I usually don't, but this emulator will rip the GameCube game to this image also, which is kind of a neat little feature into the emulator, because most of the time you have to... Like, burn the game, you
yeah,
know, you download it,
with it
you gotta,
to get to work.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta do all kinds of stuff, I mean, or have the original CD, and you put that in your, like, for the PlayStation emulator, the EPSXE, you know, you gotta either have the original thing or an image, and at least it'll load the images and whatnot, but there's no easy mechanism there for ripping the actual image, because it's a little funky, it's not like just straight copying it over. This thing, apparently, if I remember right, I could have sworn I saw a feature in there to rip the image. I'm probably wrong, but I could have sworn I seen that in there. I couldn't get it to load anything, but I don't have, like, GameCube games laying around. I have the games that I own. I don't have, like, a whole, you know, pile of downloaded GameCube pirated games or anything, you know. I couldn't get it to work. But according to the forums, some people are having varying degrees of success. I'm just into it. Like, interested in the whole thing. You know, it's like, whether it works well or not, I just like hearing that... What the hell is that noise? It's not my fire alarm. Maybe there's a car outside or something. Whatever. probably somebody's computer gonna blow up. It ain't mine. Huh. I'm just into the whole emulation. I just think it's cool. You know, it's like neat to see what people are doing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, yeah, it's just, I just think it's kind of neat. So that was something I definitely wanted to mention to make sure everybody knew about Dolphin here. Before we get into the games, I want to tell a little story about this morning. Woke up this morning, and this is my third day in a row on 5 hours of sleep. So you know how it kind of gets to you after a while? Like it just gets harder and harder as you go to get up. And I woke up this morning, and I was woken up by a phone call. So that throws you off, too, because you don't wake up by yourself. You wake up by an interruption, right? So I answered the phone. My dad's in town, and I was, like, not very coherent at all. I was like, whatever, yeah, uh-huh. And finally I heard, I'll call you later, because obviously I wasn't making a damn any sense, right? I hung up the phone, and I figured, well, I'm up. I might as well get up. 9 o'clock in the morning. I need a Pepsi and some cigarettes. This is what heroes have for breakfast, everybody. I was out of Pepsi and I was out of cigarettes. So I got my shit together, you know, threw on some shoes and some pants and went over to 7-Eleven, which is next door. That's like the only good thing about my location here in the hood is 7-Eleven is next door. So I go over to 7-Eleven, you know, and I'm like, okay, I get a little 20-ounce bottle of Pepsi and a pack of cigarettes and... Yeah, I mean, I still couldn't even see at this point. I was so tired. So, like, you know how your brain's kind of messing with you? Like you can see shit, but you don't quite identify it right away, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like, twitches.
You know, and weird shit. Like, you try to read something, and you'll stare at the page, and, like, you have no idea what you're looking at, you know, or you're trying to fish out money, and you don't know what's going on. Like, it was weird. I mean, I just crawled out of bed. I was beat. So I got my Pepsi, my cigarettes. I pray she gave me the right change. I don't even know if I gave her enough money. And I'm walking back over here, and I'm looking at the bottle of Pepsi I've got. This 20-ounce regular bottle of regular Pepsi here. And I was pretty tired, you know. So I'm reading the thing, and it says, okay, there's a contest on it, right? It says, 1 in 3 wins a free song on iTunes, okay? So I'm looking at it here, and it says, you know how, like, when you're reading, like, the label on all these contests, it says void where prohibited, you know, what does it say, like, location, restrictions apply, all this garbage. This one says, computer internet access and registration on iTunes.com required. For PC users, Windows 2000 or XP required. Technology download, well, it's slash, but it means technology and download and transfer restrictions apply. I thought that was such a weird thing to read on my bottle of Pepsi at 9 o'clock this morning when I wasn't even sure who I was or where I was. And I'm going, technology... What a weird thing to see on a bottle of Pepsi. You know, technology and download restrictions apply. And I'm looking at it, and I didn't open it, right? And I'm standing out there smoking a cigarette, and look at this bottle, and I'm going, now, I have this weird belief that, like, I don't know why, but I believe that, like, if there is a God, he rolls for everybody every now and again. You know, like, 5D100, and they all gotta roll double odd for your win. Right? All of them, though. For you to win anything. You know, I mean, contests are impossible, basically impossible. It seems like it never happens. And I'm sitting here, and I was so screwed up this morning, my brain was not working correctly. And I'm looking at this bottle of Pepsi, and I dreamed up this whole thing where I was like, this is my turn to win. God rolled a good lot for me here, and I'm good to go. So the next thing I do, I win on. And I'm all, I need to walk my ass down to the casino first, before I open this bottle of Pepsi. Because I'm gonna, this is my shit, right? Like, I knew, it was so fucking weird, right? I was tripping this morning, I was that tired. So I'm smoking a cigarette. By the time I was done with it, the nicotine had kicked in enough to straighten me out. You know, and I was like, back in reality, and there's no chance that I'm going to win anything, you know? And I was like, oh, you know, I'm not going to the Peppermill. You know, I'm not going to any nearby casino. I'm just going to open my damn Pepsi and play some Final Fantasy and wait till you guys show up. So what did I do? I crack open my Pepsi, and I did win a free song. So I wasted it on that. I didn't win $1 million.
So it's like 1 in every 3 wins a song.
That's what it says, but you know what, man?
And that's how they're giving away 10 million songs or whatever the hell they're giving
away. I think those were purchased in the first week, because they didn't have no contest at first. When iTunes first opened, that was a great sentence. When iTunes first opened their doors, it was like 1 million songs were downloaded in like a weekend or something. But this is just bringing more people to it. Now, I am opposed to the whole thing. However, remember I called you the other day because a song of a CD that I own, the CD scratched. And remember, I ripped it myself because I have all my CDs ripped. And remember, my CD was scratched and one of the songs was jacked.
That one song.
Yeah, Victory by Megadeth. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to use this one free song I've got to replace my missing song. You know, I mean, there's nothing I really want out there anyway. I mean, whatever. So I had to go ahead and go download iTunes and all this. Now, I've never done this before. I haven't used the new Napster or anything, and I'm opposed to the idea of it. I just, for multiple reasons, I really don't like the idea of this whole thing. So, but anyway, I figured I'll give it a shot and make something good to talk about on the show. I do, you know, I'm sure. Anyhow, I downloaded their software, installed it. That went pretty flawless. I wasn't really reading it and following along, but it seems to me that it installs all Apple's garbage. QuickTime, Movie Player, their fucking bullshit slideshow maker. I mean, all of this crap.
Were you surprised?
You know, no, I wasn't. No, because I know how their software is. I was just mad that there's not an option to not do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what really got me, was nowhere in there was do not slather your garbage all over my machine. Right? Because everybody knows, that listened to the show in the past, I have a problem with Apple software. It is simply, QuickTime is the only software that can crash my XP box. I have never had anything blue screen before, except for when I'm running QuickTime.
Huh.
Yeah, it is unreal. Since October...
QuickTime player?
Yeah, QuickTime player. Since October 2001, I've been running Windows XP. I have yet to see a blue screen until, like, 2 months ago, when I was playing back the new QuickTime stuff, like 4.6 or 4.5 or whatever, and all of a sudden, or 6.0, well, whatever the fuck it is, I don't care, I hate it anyway. And it blue screens when I try to play video occasionally. Just once in a while, just boom! And it craps out on.
God damn it, I wanted to watch that porn clip.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I do convert most of the QuickTime stuff to DivX anyway, using Bink and Smacker. But once in a while, I don't have the time. So I just want to throw it in the player real quick and watch it in their little player. And it blue screens the machine. It runs so slow, none of the controls are intuitive at all. I mean, it's so bass-ackwards of anything that it should be that I can't stand it. I mean, are all Apple software? Anyway, I'm not going to skate on a rant about this. So I got their software installed, not happy with that, and I fire up iTunes, you know what I mean, because it runs right away. Boom, iTunes fires up and it immediately connects to their website. Now, I thought this was going to be some major ordeal trying to figure out how to get my free song, you know? And believe it or not, on the front page that loaded up right when I installed it, there's just a giant Pepsi logo, redeem the song. I thought, well, that's nice, that's cool, okay, we're getting off to a good start. So I click the logo, and it says, like, enter my password or whatever, and it says, if you don't have one, you got to create an account. No problem. So I, oh no, it asked you for the number, my 0NQW6SYZXN number, you know, my little free song number. So I enter that, then it tells me to enter my name and password, which I don't have, create an account, boom, I go to create an account, and it's got this, like, you know, really long EULA, which I don't read, of course, and then it's, it asks me for a credit card number. So I had to go ahead and put a credit card number in there. I simply had to. I mean, if I wanted to find out about this to talk about on the show, I would have to go all the way through with it. So I thought, well, we'll see if they sign me up for something lame and start charging me monthly use of iTunes, which I'll never use again. So I get in there. I'm good to go. I got my account set up. And I can't... It's got, like, a whole library thing where it, like, kind of handles all the files for you, you know, so you don't have to do anything. And one thing I noticed that's really cool is once you have the song downloaded, you can click, like, properties on it, and it shows you a picture of the front case, the CD. It tells you exactly how long it is, the name of the band, and it's not screwed up. Like, when you download crap off the internet, it's always screwed up, you know?
Yeah.
This is, I mean, everything's spelled right. The capital letters are where they should be, you know? I mean, it seems to be, you know, pretty well straightforward and professional. You know, it's very professional.
Well, it better be. They're making money.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, I was pretty impressed by all that. But I go to download the song, and you don't have, like, options for getting the song. You have, like, just the song. You cannot get, like, a wave of it. Because now, this is my major complaint with this stuff, is you cannot get a good enough quality thing to make it worth it for me. I am all about the quality of the audio. I can tell a difference between 128K and anything higher. I simply can't.
I don't see how you can.
It's easy.
I really can't.
Listen, you know, to, I guarantee,
like, something. I don't know, maybe it's just I don't give a shit, you know. That might be it.
I, you know what I think it is that you don't hear the original long enough. Sit down and listen to the original long enough, and then turn on, the like, an MP3 of it. You know, or listen to a really high quality version MP3, you know, or whatever, AUG,
yeah,
or whatever.
Okay.
And then listen to, and I swear to God, your ears will know it. Like, you won't even have to work on it. You don't have to concentrate on listening. It's just that you've heard it so many times that your ears know what it should be coming, and it picks it up differently. And it's like, you know there's something wrong. And it drives me out of my friggin' mind. So, you only have one option. You have 128K, 44.1 kilohertz, AAC. With like MP4 audio. And I don't like this stuff at all because it's protected. You have some kind of limitation on how many machines you can play this on or whatnot. You see what I'm getting at? Like,
yeah.
This song that you have downloaded, you can sit here and play on this computer and maybe like your iPod or something, I'm sure. I didn't look into it because I don't care because I'm not going to do all that. I simply want to be able to listen to my song that I paid for now, which I already own the CD for, anywhere I want. So I thought, you know, maybe I'm going to go look around and I'm going to go find some kind of, you know what, though, I'll give it this, the speed is fast. When you click download this, it actually downloaded it like full bore. It's not like Kazaa where you know have to wait forever to download you know one song. You know sometimes it takes a while.
4K.
You know, 5K. Yeah. Come on, I'll have it by Tuesday. Let's go. Now this just flew down. It hauled ass to get this song. You hear Wolf snoring. He passed out. So
leave your mouth partly open.
Girl. Yeah, teabag him later.
Yeah, really. Right. Come on, Wolf. Partway open.
So I downloaded this this song and I am not pleased with the quality. I can tell the difference between the bad rip I have, which is a 256K MP3 and AUG, because I have everything in MP3 and AUG, versus the 128K AAC, this MP4 or M4A, whatever it is. So the best I can do is I thought, well, maybe I'll go find some kind of a converter. God knows that somebody out there has a converter to convert, you know, stuff already that just strips out the protection. And I got lazy. I was like, well, I'm going to go up and smoke a cigarette, and screw looking for software to do this for me. So I fire up Audacity, tell it to record from the playing device. I hit play in iTunes, and it records the song for me into as a way of, you know, you can dump it out of Audacity as whatever you want. You know, so I save it to a WAV file, and I'm going to recompress it in a minute, you know, to 128K MP3 and an AUG, so at least I've got kind of replacement. The quality's not as good. You lose a little bit every time you know you re-encode, but at least I've got an unprotected format now. I've got a WAV and an MP3 and an AUG, stuff I can actually use, and, you know, I can burn it to a CD and play it in my car on an MP3 or as an audio CD, or to my MP3 player, you know, as an MP3 or as an audio CD on my MP3 player. I can move it around between as many machines as I want. I'm never sitting at more than, you know, a few machines in my own house. You know, who cares? I mean, if I want to play it on six different machines in my own house, they won't let you do it with the one thing they've got now. You have to, like, authorize your machine to play this song. And it keeps track of all that stuff.
That's like that. What was it? I downloaded it was a video clip of something. They go, okay, you need a license for this video.
Yeah, it was a Windows Media video.
Okay,
video,
I'll
wasn't
download
it?
This. Yeah. And, yeah. Okay, we'll install this. Now you can view it. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't get why they think that. I mean, okay, now I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep a little bit firmer grasp on their software, you know, or on their media, you know. But this doesn't fly for most people. You know, I mean, this just does not happen. I mean, could you see, like, my mother download a song, you know, and then try to play it, like, in her car later that day? You know, or whatever she has to do, or whatever she's going to try to do. I mean, it's like, all of a sudden she would run into this problem where she wouldn't be able to listen to her music because she doesn't know enough about it, you know, what's going on. It would be insane for, you know, a regular person, you know, not like a computer enthusiast kind of person to try to get around.
That's a nice term.
What?
Computer enthusiast. I like it.
So, that's that on that.
We're not nerds no more, damn it.
No, geeks. I'm okay with the term geek. I'm alright with that. I just wish it was cool when I was in high school. That was my problem. They were beating me, when the football players were beating me up, I was a geek and that was a bad thing. Now, it would almost be something to hold over them, but they learned when I deleted all their homework. So, they think we can't get around the network. They got another thing coming. The UT 2004 demo came out. Has anybody here tried that?
I've been hearing a little bit about it, and I've heard good things about it. And like, they replaced a few of the sounds in it, you know, like, they made it what 2003 should have been.
Vehicles?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about vehicles.
I keep hearing about them. That was like the big thing was vehicles.
Maybe it does have vehicles.
I'm sure it's got vehicles.
I didn't hear anything about it.
They had a whole bunch of new combat modes. So I guess the demo's got like five maps, and like six gameplay modes. Like, remember Assault on the original one where you had to do the mission and you were fighting the team? That was so rad. You know, I guess they added, I'm sure, all kinds of stuff that just like that. You know, Capture the Flag, Domination, yada yada. I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff they added. So that's something probably worth checking out. I planned on it, but I'm just too damn lazy to get around to it.
You know? I thought about it the other day, but just not as far as it went.
Yeah. Well, that's something to check out. I wanted to definitely mention. I've got a few more interesting news articles here, though. Some of them that don't matter too much, like the one from NVIDIA, the NV40. You know, they codename their video cards NV30, NV35, NV17, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
NV40 is a new one, and I love it how they do this every year, and they're always a disappointment. NV40, three times faster than GeForce FX 5950. This is... Damn, he's snoring loud now. You hear that shit?
Somebody he's go so cute.
Punch him in the balls. So, yeah, NVIDIA says they're... NVIDIA says their new card is of course gonna smoke everything out there, and this is my favorite quote out of this thing. The new core will enable cards to run 4 times faster in Doom 3 and 7 times faster in Half-Life 2 than its current fastest product. My white ass.
Yeah.
This is up there with Sony's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? This is up there. You know how Sony likes to, you know, with their PlayStation specs? There's no way.
It's embellished.
Just a little bit. Yeah, 7 times faster in Half-Life 2 than its current fastest product.
Well, Half-Life 2 is based around the Radeon engine.
It's not based around anything. No. They wrote the engine from scratch.
Well,
what it is I think they're gearing it more towards to run on the ATI than anything.
They are. So my ATI 9600 Ultra came with a free copy of.
Yeah. So did Hunter's. Yeah. But when they showed it at last year's E3 or whatever that was, wherever they were, I don't remember. It must have been that. Yeah, I think it was E3. They showed it, and I believe it was running on ATI hardware. So, which is weird because I was pretty sure that Carmack worked really, really closely with I thought Nvidia more, but I guess he doesn't care. I guess he works with whoever. I mean, he's basically the reason we have video cards this early. He was pushing the limits, so I guess it's gonna. Geared towards running probably better on ATI hardware, but Nvidia's screwed then. You know, and they're like, oh man, we picked up Unreal. You know, because you notice when you log out, when you fire up Unreal Tournament 2003, it says that it's got the Nvidia logo and it says the way it's meant to be played and all that garbage. Yeah, you know, they went with Unreal, which Unreal Tournament 2003 wasn't too hot. You know, I mean, it wasn't the kick ass game like Unreal Tournament was, you know, the original one. But there's that to think about. You know, more new video cards to spend your money that you don't have on. Even the name of the article, NV 43 times faster than FX5950.html. I'll put the link up on the site in the show notes. This blew my mind. And this happened, today's the 17th, today. Sammy, now you remember we've been hearing about the merger for a long time, Sega and Sammy, or at least Sammy trying to move in on Sega because they're hurting. Well, all that has gone through. It looks like Sammy acquired almost a quarter of Sega. I guess that puts them like number one in the stockholders thing, I guess. So they have all the say now, and they basically just cut all of Sega's top guys and put Sammy's staff in all the top high positions. Now, if what I'm reading is true, and this just was today, this was brand new when I looked it up, boom, posted 5 minutes ago, Sega's guys are gone, Sammy's moving in and running the show now. They took all their guys and just planted them in all the high seats.
I think that's a bad move.
I don't know what's going to happen. I can't remember the last thing I
saw. It's a pachinko company.
Yeah, exactly. But don't you... I could swear that I played games that had Sammy's logo on them a long time ago. I'm sure with a quick Google search I'd pull up some games. But I can't remember... I can't remember what they've created, or at least published, or developed in the past, though. For some reason, I can't remember, but I know I've seen their logo on some games I've played in the past. But now they're going to be pushing all the Sega stuff. This is it now. I mean, they're going to be all over the place. And you know it's going to be... They'll probably keep the Sega name just because it's probably, you know, well-known. Because it is more well-known, you know.
That's almost the biggest hit is some scrapping Black Isle.
It is. Yeah, that was a surprise.
That hurt.
That hurt pretty bad. But this really, really messed me up. Sega has been a part of my life since... My God. Forever.
Master System.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, the Master System was what I had after my Atari 2600. I grew up on Sega. I mean, this is it. I've had, love for Sega and their games and their style and everything about them. And then it's just like, man, I don't know if it's going to be the same anymore. As it is, I'm still bent that I don't have Sega hardware in the house. I mean, a new Sega. I have a Dreamcast, but not anything new. You know, it's like I feel like I'm missing out on something. You know, like...
You might get Sega hardware again. You never know. That's possible. The original Sega decided to never do it again.
Yeah.
Now they're no longer in control.
That's true. Maybe this is going to be a good thing. You know, maybe this will be a really good thing. I mean, this is only management we're talking about that was replaced. This isn't like you know, the
software developer.
You know, I mean, these guys are there. I mean, they're going to be writing software still, you know, and that's where the real magic is. But I know that a lot of it had to do with the company aspect of it, too, because there was a lot of decisions made by them, you know. I mean, how can we can't get, something good happen for once that is clearly good? Like, this is, like, could be good, but it's, like, it's sad. Why can't we just get really good news?
you know, that's just so fat all the time. You know, I mean, instead I hear lies. I hear, and you know, four times faster in Doom 3. You know, I have, well, maybe that's accurate.
Yeah, it's had four frames. You're gonna get
exactly
16 frames.
Exactly. Maybe that is accurate. It's still gonna be pathetic. You know, maybe that is accurate, but there's no way I buy what they're saying. You know, and it's like in the PSP specs. There's no way I buy what Sony's saying about that little PSP. There's no way I buy that. You know, why can't I have some really, really hardcore good news once in a while? Now that we've blown 45 minutes on news, I actually have... I'm tired of talking. Why don't you talk about whatever game you were playing?
Oh, God.
Louder,
right, it's called Sword and Blade. It's basically a Diablo 2 ripoff. I played it for about... I guess I put in about 6 hours on it. It's got like a combo system. It's based on the ancient Japanese mythos. You know, it's got that cartoony style to it. You know, with like the weird demons with the weird masks.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah,
so it's got that deal to it. You go out there and you have like a combo system based off your chi. You know, you have different things you can take, like destructive, some more magical.
Does it work like the system Diablo 2 had for picking your skills, where like you would get a level and you could put a point into something, which would open up something later?
Yeah, yeah.
So you had to take like a path. That's kind of cool because then it does force you to spend a lot of time developing your character.
Yeah, but it feels too much like Diablo 2 for me to actually say this is worth going out and buying.
If you have already played Diablo 2, there's no reason to.
No, there's no reason to go to this game. But if you haven't played Diablo 2, then I would say pick this one up. You know, I think it's better.
Really?
It's bigger.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
There's no online for it, I don't think. I didn't see no online support. Which made Diablo 2 great.
See, that's exactly what made Diablo 2 so fat, is that it was, you could play online over Battle.net for free, and you could have a party of dudes go out and just go most
and
shit.
Just that Iron Man thing was cool, too. Yeah. You know, you get your guy 50th level, and it's like, alright, you die, that's it.
That
was
cool.
Fat.
Yeah.
A question for you, is that game sequel to a Throne of Darkness?
I don't know. I've never even heard of this game. You remember Throne of Darkness, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is.
No.
It's not even made by
just totally like Diablo 2.
Yeah, a lot of the... I mean, it's like they keep trying to clone Diablo, and it's just...
I like Throne of Darkness.
You know who makes good Diablo? Blizzard.
Yes.
Stick with it, okay? The rest of you companies, figure something else out, all right?
I don't know. That time I spent on Throne of Darkness, I actually liked that game a lot.
Mm-hmm. So they get tired. They get old for me quick. You know what I like better? I like, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but like Dark Alliance.
Yeah.
For some reason, I like. There's like more role playing there or something. I don't know what it is, but I thought it was, maybe it was just because it was a familiar world to me. I knew the rules by heart. I knew the Dungeons & Dragons rules by heart. Why can't we get an MMORPG based on Dungeons & Dragons?
It's coming.
Who? By who? Somebody. Somebody's got to fucking make. Now here's the problem, though. It's going to be third edition rules, and I'm going to be pissed. Third edition.
It's gonna be a third edition.
It's gonna be 3 or 3.5. What did they get? Don't they have like 3.5 now? I think they have like they actually went ahead and they made like a 3.5 set of D&D rules. That's lame. Okay, for one, as if the 3.0 rules were not lame enough.
There's one coming out for Dungeons and Dragons. There's one coming out for Lord of the Rings. But based on the books, not the movies.
I thought I remember hearing about that too, but it kept getting canned. Something kept happening to the Lord of the Rings ones.
Even if they make an MMOR like you're thinking for D&D, it's not going to give you the feel that D&D gave you.
Well, not if they use the model that we currently have. I mean,
going out and just killing monsters,
exactly,
gets old.
Okay,
you know?
I noticed you pointed at Final Fantasy when you did that, but it's not about that. I have spent weeks not killing anything, running around with the story and stuff. Now, I know that, like EQ, I'm sorry, everything I saw was just nothing but combat. I ask people that have been playing for years, and they're like, well, I go on a dungeon raid.
Yeah, it's about 95%.
You know, yeah, and that's pretty weak to me. You know, so, like, I don't want to, like, sit here and bash it, because I know it's a good game. I just like to talk shit about it. I don't know why. Because it's not as good as a lot of people think it is, and a lot of people they won't give anything else a try. You know, they don't want to hear about anything else because they're so invested in EverQuest.
Not so much that it's a good game as it is an addicting game. Whatever they did it right.
Yeah. Well, now the same thing can be said about Final Fantasy, though. It's like, whatever they did here made it for me. You know, like, it was just like the right combination of stuff for me.
I think it was the controller that did it for you.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it was the controller. I mean, the controller's a big thing for me, but I'll tell you what, it gets pretty boring.
That was a major factor for you.
It was. I mean, the control made a huge difference. I could not sit down. But yet, I could still probably handle it with the keyboard. I probably could sit there and play it. I just like being able to kick back in my chair. But, like, look at EQ, where you don't have a controller, and, you know, or Dark Age of Camelot, and they would both make me pass out. They're so incredibly boring that I would fall asleep playing them. And constantly, I have yet to fall asleep playing Final Fantasy. You know, it's like I get pretty tired, and I still power through it, you know, because, like, I'm still, like, Gotta go do stuff. Gotta go get something cool. Gotta go do this.
Auction.
Gotta go. You know, well, even just checking the auction house is a lot of fun. It's weird. I mean, there's I'm saying for me that there's so many things that fell in place that it was just like magic, and I really doubt the ability of another game to pull it off that well for me. Now, everybody's talking about Lineage 2. Okay, I'm lying. I'm curious about Lineage 2.
Yeah,
but everybody's talking about World of Warcraft. And, you know, it may very well be a good game. You know, I wish it the best. I you know, I would not be disappointed if it comes along and it is the fattest game and you know, I get sucked into it. I would not be disappointed.
It would be the first time that Blizzard released something that wasn't incredible.
Well, yeah, but see, like, I didn't like Diablo 2. I liked it for a month, and then
I
hated
played it. So
see, you might as well go play Diablo 1. And Diablo 1 just was
I
more...
I played Diablo 1.
It's the same thing, except for just a few minor tweaks and stuff, but it got so incredibly boring after a month. StarCraft, one of the best real-time strategy games out there. I loved Warcraft 3. You know, I mean, they do make incredible games, but, like, weren't they responsible for Lost Vikings? Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they
There's
were.
Something I didn't care for too much.
Boy, it was big.
You know, I mean, it was fun. It was fun. I played my fair share of hours in it, maybe 20, 30 hours of it. No,
Lost
not
Vikings
even.
Got a pretty good cult following.
It did, but it wasn't.
It's kind of interesting how you kind of had to switch characters.
Yeah, I think it was a good idea, but it wasn't just mind-blowing incredible. I didn't think, anyway. Maybe, I guess I wasn't paying attention to the industry or whatnot. But I just, what I'm trying to say is, everybody's got their hopes up. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody really already has their hopes up, and everybody's saying this is going to be the game to end all games. And I don't understand why.
It's a dangerous mindset.
It is. It really is. Because this game is going to be popular basically for all the wrong reasons. People want it to be. And it's going to get a lot of players based on the fact that, you know, hey, it's from Blizzard.
I've seen video from it, and it's
not that impressive.
Yeah,
I don't like the graphics.
It looks like everything else out there.
It does. It
has nothing to set it apart.
I don't want to talk too much crap about it. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad game. I don't know. I'm saying what I'm sick of hearing, it pisses me off, is I'm sick of hearing about people that are like, oh, World of Warcraft's going to kill them all. Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to, like, sit there and fight and argue with me about it? You cannot just admit that it might suck. And a lot of people that are playing Final Fantasy are telling me, I gotta grab a camera. Alright. A lot of people that are playing Final Fantasy, you know, talk about it, and they're like, oh no, I'm gonna dump this game so fast when World of Warcraft comes out. And I ask them, why? Well, it's gonna be incredible.
Have you paid it yet?
Exactly.
Hey,
say,
that buys it for me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
oh,
it's gonna be, oh shit, I was missing that. Oh,
God damn, what the hell was I thinking?
Exactly. You know, it's like you can't just accept the fact that it might suck. I mean, every game has a fair shot. You know, every game has a fair shot. Okay, some don't, like Daikatana, right? That we knew that was going to suck. Okay, that game did not get a fair shake. But most games have a fair, especially coming from Blizzard, they have an even better chance. But I'm so tired of people telling me how great it's going to be when they've not played it. They've looked at like two screenshots, you know, they know nothing about it. Oh, but it's from Blizzard. It's going to be incredible. You know, it's like, kid, oh, come on. And you know what I noticed? The screenshots they have on Blizzard website are small. You notice that? They're like reduced size. You ever notice how good stuff looks when you take it from a real big resolution and shrink it down because you can't see? On the forums, go to our forums. On the forums, we've got, thanks to Modem, screenshots of the game full size, 800 by 600 and 1024 by 768. Guess what? It doesn't look good at all at full blown, and that's what you're going to be playing it on. You know, you're going to be playing it full size. You're not going to be playing it at like 570 or whatever they shrunk it down to. You're going to be playing it at, there's another thing if you want to sit on it. You're not going to be playing it, you know, the small resolution. So I'm curious to see, you know, how much that's going to change from the real, you know, the release to what we've seen now about it. And the beta, I guess, is out there. I guess, you know, well, I know you can download it, but I mean, like, the beta testers are playing, I assume, because it was supposed to end last Tuesday. And they're supposed to, you know, send out all the copies and let you download it. So I imagine people are, I haven't looked around. I know people are playing Lineage 2 beta, though, and I hear a lot of talk from just, it happens to be the places I go. And that was one that really intrigued me that I thought looked incredible. But it was,
what are they saying about it, though? I mean, are they saying anything about the game?
So I haven't read anything beyond the fact that, oh, I got it, I'm playing, I'm a 7th level, so-and-so, come join me on this. Like, there was some forums I was looking at, and it was like a couple of weeks ago, so it must have been right when they opened the US beta. Because it was all these people trying to, like, teach, help each other learn to play, and so I haven't heard anything. It's just, I keep hearing how great the graphics are, though. And I knew that a long time ago from the gameplay movies we downloaded from their website and all the screenshots. The game looks incredibly beautiful. I just don't know if the gameplay and all that is there. And unfortunately, I'll probably never get to play that game. As bad as I wanted to for months, I'm just too sucked into Final Fantasy, and it's just that much fun for me right now. Now, I know that, oh, you know what? Last week's EverQuest Radio was great, because somebody got on there. They, you know, they have Collins, and they've been talking about playing World of Warcraft for a long time now. They're really supporting it. I hope it's a fat game, and I hope they play it so I can listen to them talk about it. I want to hear about it. You know, I don't even play EQ, and I still listen to them talk about it, because, you know, they tell good stories. They just got a good thing going, and I like it, but it would be neat to hear about Warcraft, too. And somebody called up and was talking about Final Fantasy on their show, which was neat, because they have really been, it seemed like, kind of against Final Fantasy for a while. And it's like somebody, one of their buddies, I guess, that played EQ with them was talking about it. And it was cool to hear him, like, you know, say, you know, wow, it does sound like a pretty cool game. You know, so I thought that was kind of neat that, you know, I mean, at least, you know, that there's a lot of play, you know, at least they're being open-minded about it. You know, I just thought that was cool. Anybody else play anything else?
No.
No, I know. It's like, I know, we've been playing Final Fantasy like mad. And you know what we're probably going to do is we're going to try to record again tonight just about Final Fantasy, just to get it out of our systems, because there's so many crazy things just to talk about that, I mean, the reason we wanted to do it, though, in conjunction with another show is because a lot of people don't want to just hear about Final Fantasy. I know that. And a lot of people do like listening to it anyway. So we might as well just, you know, do them both. It's no sweat off our back to sit around and, you know, talk for, you know, an hour, hour and a half about Final Fantasy. We enjoy it. So might as well record it. We're talking about it anyway. but I do have some email then. I've actually got a lot, and all I've come up back with was this. I've got an email from Riboflavin, which she sent me on January 30th. Which I didn't, I mean, you know.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oops.
I did, well, we had topics for the last couple shows, is why I kind of avoided it. We actually had a reason to record. We were talking about the, I don't even remember, the budget, or the inexpensive, and then the future stuff. I'm getting lightheaded from talking so much.
You do talk a lot.
That's because nobody else says anything. I have to.
Yeah, I try, you know.
But you're too quiet, and you sound a little creepy, like Lurch or something.
Lurch.
anyway, I get an email from Riboflavin talking about Final Fantasy Chronicles. And he says, this is a new Final Fantasy game coming out in a few weeks. This was, you know, January 30th, so this actually came out 6 days ago, February 9th.
The one for the GameCube.
For the GameCube, which is exciting because it is the first Final Fantasy game to come out for a Nintendo console since Final Fantasy 3, which was 6, really. Essentially, it's just a Final Fantasy offshoot, much like Final Fantasy Tactics or Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, and not a true Final Fantasy, and it's more of an action RPG than a traditional. There aren't any levels or experience points, and apparently not much in terms of story either. And according to reviews, it's really more of a dungeon crawl. Think Zelda meets Gauntlet with a little more Animal Crossing thrown in for good measure. The big thing here is the game is entirely multiplayer. Much like in Secret of Mana, you can, which is probably Mana. We had a whole discussion today on how you say Scythe.
Scythe.
It's not Scythe like I continually say. It's Scythe. I looked it up. So where was I at? What did I say? Secret of Mana, which is probably Mana anyway, but I don't care. I'm never changing the way I pronounce Mana. I'm an American. It's probably Mana.
I say Mana.
Yeah, okay. That works for me. And you can play up to three with three other guys. Here's where it gets rough. According to reports, in order to have others play, each of them has to hook up their Game Boy Advance to the GameCube with the link cable. Each person has to have a separate Game Boy for their character. So if you're playing with three people, that's three Game Boy Advances. This is a stupid gimmick that will no doubt hurt the sales of this game. Graphically, the game looks great. However, according to early reviews, playing this game that has only that wait with only one person isn't so hot. It's designed to be played. Wait, it's designed from the ground to be multiplayer, kind of like a party game. So I doubt I'll get it despite being a square whore. He likes like every square game. So, but see, I was really into the idea of Crystal Chronicles to begin with too, and then once I heard all this crap, I lost complete interest in it.
I think it looks interesting.
They made it look good. You know, when I seen the commercials and I was watching, I was like, damn, that looks pretty bad.
Yeah, it does, but
it doesn't look like anything I would want. It doesn't look like anything I would want to play by myself, though.
You see, that was the thing, is I thought, oh, this will be fun to play by myself. But then I'm hearing all this anti-single-player stuff, and I just lost interest. I mean, it just fell off the radar for me. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah. I had my hopes up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't sound too good. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, it has its group of people that are going to love it and play it and play the hell out of it, and that's great. You know, I think they just dropped the ball on some of the different things. So much with that. Whatever.
Hopefully, it's enough to open up the doors for Nintendo again.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, Nintendo to take Square back.
Never happen, but it would be nice to see them, you know, go multi-platform. You know, yeah. I wouldn't mind playing, you know, multiple. Well, actually, I would because I don't really care for today's Final Fantasies, but I wouldn't mind seeing more of their other stuff. You know, like why don't we have Tactics on the Xbox? Why don't we have Final Fantasy XI on the GameCube? You know, something like that. That wouldn't be so bad to see at all. That would just, you know, open up more players. It would, you know, give them a bigger group of a player base. You know. Mm-hmm. Another good game, this one is actually something I really cared about. I really, really, really was interested in what he had to say about Resident Evil Outbreak. Notable for being the first Resident Evil to be multiplayer via the PS2 broadband connection. The big thing about Resident Evil games is the storyline. This one takes place just prior to Resident Evil 2, as you play one of eight characters trying to escape Raccoon City. Apparently the game is broken up into scenarios which you can play with up to four people. You can assist others, trade items and weapons, help each other fight bosses, etc. Think like the co-op mode in the old first-person shooter like Doom and Quake. There are some innovative features. For example, you have a virus meter. If you get hit by a zombie too many times, you turn into one and can actually hunt down your friends.
That's fast.
Yeah. He says way cool. I must agree. It is way cool. Also, the offline content is exactly the same as the online game, only the other characters are controlled by the AI. So you can play through the game without being connected. The only downside that I can see is communication. There's no USB keyboard support or even text boxes to communicate it. Everything is done via simple direction pad. So if you want your character to say help, you push up and then a button. If you want to say go, you push down and a button, etc. There's only 10 different phrases you can say in the entire game. So good luck trying to get people to understand what's going on at any given time. Looks interesting, but as a fan of the series, I'd be more interested in the offline mode than anything else, considering the online mode a bonus. And consider the online mode a bonus. But I wouldn't buy it for the express purpose of playing online. I have to wholeheartedly agree, too. You know, I like to play a lot of these games solo. I avoid multiplayer.
I'd like to see that online.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it would be, you know, really cool, but most of the Resident Evil games you can sit down and blow through in, like, 10 hours max. That's like if you're messing around. You know, I mean, they're pretty short. I mean, this better be a monster of a game. This better be huge. I don't know. The story, I have to agree, I always thought the story was really cool. I didn't like the controls for that game.
You know which ones I like? The one that creeped me out the most was probably Alone in the Dark. You know, they have this one attic scene where you're up there, and then the music starts in, and you start hearing the scratches on the window.
Yeah.
And you're like looking around, oh shit, and the window breaks, and the damn thing drops in there. That freaked me out pretty good.
Eternal Darkness freaked the shit out of me, dude. That is the game that you play at 2 o'clock in the morning with all the lights turned off, and you are like in a fear coma. I mean, you're just sitting there, and somehow your thumbs and fingers and whatnot are still moving, and your eyes are just, you haven't blinked in an hour and a half, and you're just, it is creepy, and you absolutely must play with the sound on.
Is that the one that does all the weird things to creep you out that have...
Yeah, because you have a sanity meter, and the lower end, the camera gets all askew and stuff, and like oh, man.
They tell you that your memory card's wiped, and...
All kinds of scary shit happen. I actually never saw that one. I actually never saw, if that was in fact one of the things, but like, I've seen where like, I saw a lot of them. There's so many, it seems like, though, because I saw so many different ones where, like, the camera angle's all just cocked sideways a little bit because of that weird, cheesy horror movie feel. And then, like, one time I walked into this room, and as I kept walking down the hall, my guy was all and got really small. And then I've seen it where, like, you walk in the room and your guy just
his head blows up. Like, and you're just creeped out by it because you don't expect it. You know, all this weird shit happens. I've walked into rooms where, like, there's like a weird tinted color almost, I thought too, you know, and then like, you'll open a door and you're back in the same room and like, it fucks with your head so bad. Oh, the best one though was when I was walking down the hallway and there's this marble bust, you know, of somebody's head on the thing. Mm. And I walk past it and it's all, and watches me turn. It fucking moved. I walked in the hall and I walked past it 50 times. It never moved. And I walked past it and it's all, and it just, you see it turn and look at you. And I was like, oh my god, and you can see blood dripping down the walls in the distance. So you walk up to it, and as you get closer, like it gets harder and harder to see, and when you get right up to it, there's no blood on the wall. Huh, but you see it. It is so fat. I mean, that game is just amazing. And the best part is it's $15. Brand new on, I think Amazon's got it for $15 now, and GameStop.com has it. $15, brand new, and it is the best $15 you could spend. It is fat. Resident Evil. Metroid Zero Mission. I haven't even heard about this. A complete remake of the original Nintendo Entertainment System Metroid for the Game Boy Advance. Looks fantastic and even has the original NES version of the Metroid included as a hidden bonus game. That was the last game on Ribo's email here about actual content. You know, since we don't actually have anything or any information, we rely on the listeners to send us information about games, which is awesome because makes my life a whole lot easier because I don't actually get to see every game, you know, and read about everything, unfortunately. But fans in Metroid will probably eat that up, though. I mean, the original Metroid was really cool, too. So having that on a portable system with a whole other game built around it, thanks for your contribution to the show, Wolf. A gaseous cloud. All right. And let's see. I got an email from Cushion, actually, again, who nobody's heard from in a while. That actually, he pops onto IRC. It's so funny. He'll say something, he'll hop onto IRC and he'll say, hey, and then leave. Right, and this is within like 30 seconds. And everybody knows it takes everybody like 20 minutes to respond on IRC. Just we're so, you know, mainly I've been playing Final Fantasy, and every so often I look over and I don't say very much anymore just because I've been sucked into Final Fantasy, and it's just like some kind of addiction. But it's funny because he never talks to anybody because he doesn't catch us because we're all too spaced out on something. And then we all reply with, hey, how you doing, like 5 minutes later, though. But he's gone. So, but he managed to send me an email, though, and talk about a couple of different games that he rented, Need for Speed Underground and True Crime. Now, Need for Speed we've actually talked about a lot before because it's actually pretty fat, but he actually gives a really, really nice review of it here. Let's see. Let me find out where it starts. I'm not too familiar with the Need for Speed series, but in this one you play as a street racing noob trying to be the best, richest street racer. You must complete certain goals in certain parts of the city before you can move on to the next city streets. This is a lot like in Road Rash, where you had to be first in all the courses before you can move on to the new courses. But instead of just racing, other challenges need to be completed, like drag racing and power slide perfecting. The graphics are fairly decent, but not as photorealistic as Gran Turismo games. In fact, the graphics have a slight cartoony CGI look to them. The sound is good, but the songs are a mixed bag. More on that later. The gameplay is pretty tight. You never really get the sense of the car getting out of control, or the feeling that some turns are impossible to hit. Now, some things that really stuck out to me. All the cars in the game are actual licensed automobiles. The bad thing is, just like in other licensed games, the cars cannot appear damaged or wrecked. You remember that? Haven't you guys played some of these car racing games? And the first time I saw that and, like, careened off this thing and flew off a bridge, rolled the car 7 times, and landed on the road, and I was still driving, and I was good to go. The car had no damage. I was like, what the hell?
Why is that?
Well, he says here, I mean, like, instead of just telling you, I'll read it because he covers it, so it'll cover more of the thing. This is because the car companies don't want their cars to look breakable, right? They don't want, like, a Subaru to be all damaged. They want it to look, you know, perfect all the time. He says he forgets what the real reason is, but it's something like that. It is. I've heard about this before. Like, all these unlicensed games with cars that look just like the real cars, but does not actually say Acura, you know, or whatever on it.
Right.
They're wreckable because they don't have the, you know, Ferrari stamp on the car. But you go ahead and you get a game that's licensed by all these companies, you cannot wreck that car because they don't want it to look like that. Which
is stupid.
I mean, talk about sucking the realism out of your game. What the hell?
As I mentioned, the fun out of crashing.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
I mean, it's just like, what were they thinking? I know what they were thinking, but it just doesn't make any sense from a gaming standpoint. which obviously they don't know anything about. But while the realism is kind of ruined, you can bump into walls and push other cars aside without losing any ground. This helps in the races, but it makes your badass import feel like a bumper car. And see, just like in Electronic Arts SSX3, the snowboarding one, the songs are really lacking. Also, they can't decide which genre to go for. While the menus all play censored top 40 rap songs, the races have B-sides and unknown rock alternative pop songs. And why is it that the games with the lamest songs won't let you use the songs you've ripped onto your Xbox hard drive? Now, that is stupid. I mean, that's like a huge feature of having an Xbox. You know, is able to make your own playlist and whatnot and use that. Like in Tony Hawk, I listen to my own music. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they won't let you do it. But EA is kind of messed up anyway. I mean, it's like you don't have online games either. You do it for the PlayStation, but not for Xbox. It's like they're trying to stick it to Bill. Come on. You love Billy. Give him your money.
Yeah, I do love Billy. Never say anything bad about Phil.
Yeah. see, one slight problem with the driving is that all the streets look and feel like it just rained. And I noticed that too. When I was playing the demo, which I had a blast playing, everything was very plastic and shiny. Like, it had a real raver look to it. You know, like, everything's plastic and shiny, and like, it just, that just fresh rain look to it. It really shiny. Did feel like that when I was playing. But I thought it was a cool effect. I like rain, so I was into it. I thought it was neat. But don't worry if you take a turn too wide and start weaving like a drunk. In this game, weaving counts as a power slide, and you actually get more points the longer you weave. I mean, slide. And don't worry about missing turns and weaving, because you'll get real use of the tracks. This is because you have to race the same track 2 to 4 times during a course, and the track... Anyway, and then the race is... What? And then race, it's a mirror track a couple more times. You know how they just reverse the course? That is right. So the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Whoever came up with that needs to be shot. By the time I was up to level 2, I was almost lapping the other cars because the main track was beaten into my skull. One more thing I wanted to bring up, speaking of levels. One thing everyone hates about realistic racing games is upgrading the car. This drives me insane because I don't know what to do. Which tires do you need? Which engine should you get? Which should be the... should you get the turbo boost? This game makes it easy. Every level has its own parts, upgrades, engines, tires, brakes, whatever. The rest are all locked until you get to the next level. So as far as I can tell, the parts just improve level by level, and the names and the parts are meaningless. That makes it so easy. Instead of picking the best tires for certain condition, the tires just improve overall. That is fat.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of those guys that looks, and they're like, do you need softer tires for this kind of course? And I'm like, The fuck should I know?
I like that. I like that realism. Well, you know, when you put that into a game.
It should be like an option, though, for us noob racers versus the hardcore racers.
Well, yeah, you should be able to take that out. But
if you know what about cars and you know what you're doing, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know jack about cars. And
it just hinders my gameplay is all it does for me. It's like, that's probably it's the exact same reason I gravitate towards Dungeons & Dragons licensed games. I know the rules by heart. I played that shit so many hours, so many years, so many days in a row that I know exactly what everything does without even having to look at it. You know, I can just tell you the rules right off the top of my head. So it's like when I see a game come out that has, you know, Forgotten Realms or Greyhawk or whatever stamped all over it, I'm like, oh, I gotta check it out. You know, it's like I can jump right into it, and it's just awesome because it almost adds to the story for me because my brain is already working ahead on what's going on. You know, it's great.
I'd like to see more Greyhawk games. You know,
I don't care. I just want more D&D licensed games. I don't care where they go.
I'd like to see one with the actual city of Greyhawk.
Yo, wouldn't that be just badass, man?
Bad.
Alright, finishing up the review, he said, I'd say if you're looking for a good street racing game, go with Need for Speed Underground, which everybody in the world calls it Need for Rice. The scenery is repetitive, but the gameplay is solid. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. And let's see, the other one's True Crime Streets of L.A. This is interesting. I heard a lot about this game. I kept hearing people talk, oh, this is the new shit. This is a perfect example of what I saw with what I'm seeing with World of Warcraft. Everybody going, oh, this is it. This is the game. This is the one that we're going to play. Fuck everything else. Drop Grand Theft Auto. Drop everything you're playing because True Crime is it. And what happened? This game comes out. It gets flat reviews everywhere, and nobody talks about it anymore. Right? This is exactly the kind of shit that I see happening with way too many games, but it just reminds me of the World of Warcraft thing. Except for World of Warcraft might actually be way fast. But again, who knows? Let's see. The thing is, this thing has GTA clone written all over. The driving feels off. The shooting feels off. Hell, the fighting even feels off. You can't finish a guy off unless you do some crazy create a combo right when it tells you. Overall, the game has a mixed feeling to it. It's too cheesy to be serious and too serious to be cheesy. For example, your character says a couple of corny lines Duke Nukem wouldn't even say, and then he gets into a car and a bad uncensored rap song starts playing. Also, where are all the other stations like in GTA? I don't want to hear the bitch-ass nigger song all day. I guess it's uncensored rap songs the whole time. Uncensored, though. That's why I keep saying that. I keep pointing it out. He says that's actually what you hear while you're playing. That's probably... Doesn't it have a mature rating on it? I'm sure it does, huh?
Yeah, it does.
I remember,
okay. It has to.
Yeah. But I wanted to make sure to point that out, you know. Let's see. I played about 10 minutes of this and took it out. I think my breaking point came when I was driving to my second mission. I got confused, and instead of hitting the brakes, I just jumped out of my car. You know, I mean, you hit the wrong button. I used to do it in GTA all the time.
Yeah.
I jumped out of my car. My car rolled about 4 blocks away, hitting everything in its path. I walked to the mission about a block away. The cutscene rolls, and as I walk out, there's my car without a scratch on it. He says, whatever, I give this a 5 out of 10. That is pretty lame. I mean, when you're trying to go for that ultra-realistic sandbox game, and then you pull some kind of garbage like that, what the hell?
That just
doesn't work. He makes a little comment here, too, about Final Fantasy. Anyway, you guys take it easy, and good luck on Final Fantasy XI. As I've said in IRC, I'm waiting until March to check it out on the PS2. But the price tag is the real game breaker for me. Don't get me wrong, I'd like a hard drive for my PS2, but for $100? And isn't the PS2 getting up there in age? I don't know, I guess I'll wait and see. That's a good point.
It's kind of tough to buy a piece of equipment for such an old console.
You know, I hadn't even considered that originally. At first I was like, shit, yeah, it'd be cool to have a hard drive in there. But you know what, that's a good point. This thing is getting awfully old. As it is, there's not much I care to play on it. I'm basically waiting for the games that I want. Like, R-Type Final is, like, Modem got it. He said it's just incredible. I picked it up today and haven't even cracked the plastic yet, and I probably won't for a little while because I know I'm going to be just sucked into it because I love that kind of shit. So I'm kind of putting it off, and I'm going to try to space it out in between Final Fantasy moments.
Modem actually likes some stuff.
I know, huh? But it's an old stuff, though. I mean, it's R-Type. This is R-Type Final, though, and I'm glad they just even brought it to the U.S. But it's like... That's a good example. That was something I was kind of waiting for. You know, if they bring the Bonk's Adventure remake to this, I'm still, you know, to the U.S., I'm still waiting for that. I'll buy that. Xenosaga 2, I'm waiting for it. Suikoden 4, I'm waiting for it. There's nothing out there. Now, a good point on the, what were we talking about? Unreal Tournament 2004, you said, that's because there's nothing else out there earlier today. Remember?
There isn't.
Right? And then when we were out shopping earlier today, when we were out looking for an extension cord and R-Type, you said... What did you say? Remember you said something about, God, there's no games out on the PC.
Yeah, the computers, it's all clones of each other. It's just the same thing over and over and over again.
And it was a good example which you pointed out. The one that you happened to point out in particular was something that I had ranted about before, I think, that I can't stand. Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
Frontline Assault. Battlefield 1942. Fucking World War II, your granddaddy's Call of Duty. You know, it's just like, oh! No, the World War II theme stuff is really what drives me insane.
Yeah, that's good.
Jesus, God, give it up already. That pisses me off. It's just boring. It's just like, okay, it was cool as hell the first time. Now that we have 8 games just like it, move on, please.
That's all they talk about, like, when I'm playing Tactical Ops. That's all they talk about is Call of Duty.
Where's the Tribes killer? There's nothing out there as good as Tribes. As far as what Tribes does, you know, like Counter-Strike does what it does perfectly. You know, I'm sure Battlefield 1942 does what it does perfectly. Tribes does what it does perfectly. How come they can't make more games like Tribes and build upon it, though, and make it better? I want to see more constructions is what I want to see. Because, you know, like in the mods for Tribes, like you could get the walls and the platforms. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I used to go, like, load up my guy with all the inventory station shit and set up my own little base somewhere on the map, and I would build a box, like a little fort, like when you were a kid, you'd find plywood and like lean them together around a tree, and I would build a fort, and then I would have inventory stations and all my own little shit. So when I was going across the map to the enemy base, I could stop by like my house, pick up all fresh gear, load up my hit points again, you know, and then I could head on out to their place. I would set up turrets around it and shit. It was so cool. They need something else where it was like you get more construction and a few more vehicles in it, you know. God damn, Tribes does what it does so good. And Tribes 2 is $10 now. That's the best $10 you can buy. You know, the end of his email here. Also, you guys did a great job on the inexpensive episode. He puts inexpensive in quotes. I'm a big believer in waiting for a game to hit the greatest hits and then running out and getting the game with the original cover for the greatest hits price. That's right, I do it a lot. I guess I'm just cheap that way. Also, big thanks for doing the budget PC rundown. I play about 99.999% of my games on consoles because I'm not big into PC hardware, and I never know what to buy. At least now, I know where to start if I ever get some money together for a new machine. Now, the reason I wanted to read that mainly because there were two things I wanted to say about that. Number one, Xenosaga, according to Hades, went greatest hits. So for $20, you can get Xenosaga, which is, like, clearly one of the best RPGs in a long time. I fully believe in that. $20 for the PS2... And I'm thinking that we need to do a hardware, a gaming, like a mega blowout hardware PC show. Because we're on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I can tell you what half the chipsets do blindly. You know what I mean? It's been a long time since I've, like, updated myself, but most of this stuff I remember really, really well because I've read so much of it.
I have to.
So
I do like a dream machine.
We could do the dream machine. We could do the middle of the road machine. We could do the not. It's not even so much about. It's not the inexpensive machine. It's not even about like laying down the fat hardware that I want to do the effort. Like I don't like. Okay, PC Gamer and Maximum PC, and I'm sure every other gaming magazine out there, related hardware magazine, you know, or gaming magazine out there, do this is what you want for the top of the line. This is what you want for the middle of the road. What I think would be interesting to do is educate people. Tell them, this is the benefits of a GeForce card. This, you know, and then, however, this is the benefits of an ATI card. So you can make your own decision. I don't want to sit here and say, maybe I would say this is what I would pick, but I don't want to say this is what you got to get. I mean, that's just stupid, okay? Yeah. You got to let them make up their own mind. You know, I wouldn't mind talking about all the latest chipsets out there, you know, for motherboards and stuff like that, you know, all the latest processors and why somebody would want to, you know, go with one thing as opposed to another, you know, what hyper-threading is for the new Pentium 4s, their current, you know, bus speed, all this stuff a lot of people don't know about, and they just don't take the time to read it all. It's just, sometimes it's awfully dry. I love talking about it. You know, I get all excited like a little kid. Like it's Christmas time. I'm like, oh, 8x AGP, baby. Look at the guy getting new chips. You know, I get all excited because this stuff is interesting to me. And this is what I like. So I think that maybe we should do, it'd be kind of interesting to do an episode on that and kind of bring everybody up to speed if they don't know. A lot of people don't even know that what's bus speed. What's a front side bus? People don't know. What, you know, people just don't know. I mean, I talk to people in Final Fantasy all the time. No, I got a really fat computer. It's some, I don't know, it says E-Machines on it. I'm connected through AOL. You know, and it's just like, oh my god, you know. I mean, at least you're playing games. But, you know.
No, it's like when I have my compact. I was like, this at least, is so bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at least you're playing games. But it's just like, it's funny to listen to these people that don't know a damn lick about it. Because I'm like, yeah, well, you know, because what happened with the reason, the thing I'm actually quoting from is I was talking to some guy who said he was having problems with the speed of Final Fantasy. So I started asking him questions, and it became apparent that he didn't know what he was talking about when I said, what kind of MOBO do you have? And he goes, what's a MOBO? And I went, right there, oh, fuck me, this guy doesn't know, you know, that MOBO is short for motherboard these days, so he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, and I didn't, you know, make him feel bad or nothing. I tried to make him feel, you know, pretty good. You know, I'm a nice guy. I try to help people, you know, so I'm in there talking to the guy. But then I was like, okay, he doesn't know what motherboard he's got, so I'll ask him how fast his computer is. So I ask him, and he gives me, like, the model number. You know, because he's like, I'm like, you know, how many megahertz does this thing run at? You know, how fast is it? What do you got? And he's like, it's a, you know, 6300. I'm like,
sounds like the phone call I just got yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, from your brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or who was that?
No, it's my brother-in-law.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But you know, not
how
everybody
much memory
knows.
You got? No. 6400. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I mean, not everybody knows. You know, so it would just be nice to bring it. Just, I don't know. It'd be a neat topic for the show, I guess. You know, it'd be a neat topic.
Yeah,
so. I'd love to talk about movies, but we are way over time again. It's an hour and 20 minutes. I've actually been watching a crap load of movies. Maybe we'll have to do like a catch-up for all the movies that I've been watching lately, like a catch-up episode. Because this is and more entertainment radio, not just game radio. So we're going to have to... Just there's so much good stuff to talk about in the gaming industry, but got a lot of good stuff on movies to talk about. Keep your eyes open for some good flicks. You know, not everybody has time to play games, but once in a while you can squeeze in a movie.
I watch movies all the time.
So I know.
I'm pretty up on it.
You're way up on it, but I want to talk about like Bad Santa, Big Fish, The Order, Underworld. I mean, I've seen so many. Scorched, Grind. I mean, I've seen so many movies. Once Upon a Time in Mexico. What else have I got in coding right there? There's some other things I just watched. I mean, there's so much stuff that I've just been watching lately, and I just haven't had a chance to talk about on the show because we had actual topics for the show. That's it?
That's it.
Back to Final Fantasy and saving the world.
Bye-bye.
Love y'all. Hasta la vista, baby.